Hi, I'm Emily Unkrich, the mother of Lee Unkrich, the director of Toy Story 3. You are listening to the Pixar podcast.
To infinity and beyond!
So, how long is this going to take?
You can't rush art.
What's the point of going out there? They'll only laugh at you.
Yes, because you're a clown!
Stranger from the outside.
You're not the queen. You don't smell like the queen.
I never look back, darling. It distracts from the now.
How do you feel?
12. I feel 12. In fact, I think I feel a song coming on.
Hey, good evening. How are you? Nice to see you. Hey, it's great to be here in your room. Where are you from?
Hello there, Pixar fans. Welcome to another episode of the Pixar Podcast. You're listening to episode number 109. ThePixarPodcast.com/109 is where you can find the show notes for this episode. I'm Derek Clements. And on today's episode, we have a very special thing. It's a very special episode. We are going to be doing a full-length review, we can say that however we want, of the new Disney movie, Frozen. So we talked about this last week. First, want to say hello to everybody in the chat room live at thepixarpodcast.com/live. And I have two very special guests that I would like to introduce. We have new to the podcast, Victoria Birkbeck. Hello, Victoria.
Hello, Derek.
And we also, this is returning to the podcast way back in whenever that was that we did a review.
2011.
We did a review of The Illusionist. Brooke Parker.
Hey.
So the three of us are in the same room right now.
We are.
So that's exciting. So it's like we're live in a room and we're live with the chat people and it's just going to be amazing.
Community.
Total community. So we saw Frozen. We all have seen Frozen.
Yes, we have.
And so we are going to do a review of it right now. I'm going to play a little thing. So here comes our full-length review. Oh, I should say. We're going to do spoilers in this review. So if you haven't seen Frozen yet, go out and see it before you listen to this review. All right, here comes our full review of Frozen.
Born of cold and winter air and mountain rain combining, this icy force, both foul and fair, has a frozen harbor binding. So cut through the heart, cold and clear, strike for love and strike for fear. See the beauty sharp and sheer, split the ice apart, and break the frozen heart. Watch your step!
Alright, so that was Frozen Heart from the Frozen soundtrack. It's available now on iTunes. So let's get into this. Let's get into Frozen. Let me preface the conversation by saying this. On Wednesday, the last... Was it 2 weeks ago?
Two weeks ago,
before Thanksgiving, Frozen came out. Yeah. And I saw the movie in the morning with my nieces and nephews and my sister. And we had a great time at the theater. And that night, I was like, I think I need to see this movie again. So I went to the movie theater and by myself, and I saw Frozen a second time. And then we are friends, the three of us, and we did Thanksgiving things together. And so on the next morning, I went to your house, Brooke,
mm-hmm.
and then somebody was going to go to Frozen. And so we were like,
let's go.
Okay, let's go to Frozen. So here we're at three times. And then the next day, there were more people that didn't see it the first day, that day. So, of course, we had to see it again.
Obviously. And then the next day,
there were more people. So, you two have both seen the movie three times.
In three days. One time each day.
Which is
Thanksgiving
a little excessive.
Weekend.
Yeah. And we were all together all three times.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, and I had seen it twice by myself previously before that.
Yeah.
So, I've seen Frozen five times. I enjoyed Frozen a lot, but I think it also just kind of like touched a particular nerve with me. Like I it's getting a lot of really good reviews, but I don't know. I think I just had some sort of personal connection with the movie, but I guess let me start. Victoria Birkbeck, what did you think of Frozen?
I enjoyed Frozen quite a bit. It was a little bit
overwhelming to compare my feelings for Frozen with your enthusiasm for Frozen, which was more intense than I can feel. And so it was almost hard for me to know if I even liked it, because it felt like you had set the standard for liking it. But I did like it, I realized, eventually quite a bit. I actually would definitely see it again, and I still think about it a lot. So yeah, as somebody who is pretty interested in the Disney princess genre, it was really great to see.
Yeah, so you have done some research, like real, like academic research.
Actual publishable research.
Yeah, and so we'll probably get to that
in, yeah, we can talk later.
In a few minutes about Disney princess. But oh, what about you, Brooke? What were your sort of initial thoughts with the movie?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Victoria. I loved it a lot. I was a little intimidated going in because reviewing the story we just told, Derek had seen it twice by the time that we went to go see it together. And he was, mm-hmm. like, so enthusiastic that I went in nervous. Like, I was like, I'm kind of nervous when people are so enthusiastic, because then I think maybe I won't enjoy it as much. But starting with that first song that we just heard, I was, like, hooked. I loved that first song. I thought it, like, was a throwback to lots of the good old, mm-hmm. like, Disney classic songs with, like, nice ensemble musical numbers and things, and I loved it. Like, I enjoyed every second of every three times of watching it. And I think it grew on me. The first time I was like, yeah, that was really good. And then by the second time I was like even more enthusiastic.
Yeah,
I had the same thing. Like, the second time that I saw it, I thought I would like it less, but I ended up liking it more. And like, yeah. Why do you think that is? I don't know why that is.
I think it's satisfying to watch the beginning knowing the end.
Yeah, I found that too, that like I saw it a lot differently. You see a lot of details the second time.
Yeah.
I liked seeing it more than once, because once you've seen it and you know the plot, you can pay more attention to the animation.
Yeah.
Which was really beautiful.
Yeah, the animation was very beautiful. It, actually, when we first found out that Frozen was going to be a computer animated movie, mm-hmm. Instead of I was sad, because I thought it felt like the type of thing, just knowing the story was going to be a Hans Christian Andersen thing, like I figured, well, why not just do a 2D animation? Like, why not right. just go all the way, Disney? Come on.
Yeah.
but I think that actually seeing the movie, the way that they use computer graphics to make snow and to make these various sets and to do really detailed, like, acting with the various characters, mm-hmm. are really, like, these precise things that you can only do in computer animation. So maybe you could have told it in 2D animation, too, but I think that the story and the form of computer animation work really, really well.
Can I actually say that I think that specifically because it was snow, the computer animation added a lot, that it had a, like, the ice, and the ice specifically, it's, I think, hand animated would not have had the same quality.
Yeah, I think that that's probably true. All right, so we talked a little bit about the songs. Maybe we can talk about the music? What do we think about the music?
Yeah, we can talk about music.
Okay. What do you think about the music?
Well, I was going to comment on Brooke's earlier statement that it reminded her of Disney movies, and I think that's really true. I don't know what it is about those songs, but you see in Dumbo, they have the Men Working song at the beginning, setting up the circus. They have in Pocahontas, they have the song that's kind of just the, like, Native American song about seasons. And there's a lot of movies, I'm trying to think of other ones, but there's a lot of movies that have really similar songs that are sort of like a setting songs,
right?
That aren't like plot songs, but they're setting songs.
Yeah, I thought that the music. So the music was Christian Andersen Lopez and Robert Lopez writing together. They had previously done music to Winnie the Pooh for Disney, and they also, well, Robert Lopez also wrote Book of Mormon and Avenue Q on Broadway, and they also, which, you know,
that's
same
more
genre,
edgy,
yeah. So. And Winnie the Pooh, you know.
Children.
Right. All children's media. Yeah, yeah, exactly. although Avenue Q is sort of based on children's music, sort of a Sesame Street thing.
A subversion of the theme.
Yeah. And you could say that Frozen kind of subverts the traditional genres, but in a...
That's
in,
what he
in
does.
In more,
yeah, not in the, quite the same way. Not in the vulgar way that he does in other things. But I did think that was interesting. To have someone with that particular pedigree do a Disney movie. But yeah, the songs just work. They just work so well because they're good songs. You know, they're catchy. And I guess, what was everybody's favorite song?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I love them all. I guess the one I find myself singing a lot is Do You Want to Build a Snowman?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's my favorite. I love them all. I'll say that that's the one that gets kind of stuck in my head.
Yeah. I think my favorite is Let It Go.
Yeah.
Probably for sure.
Yeah, I think that's the one that I see getting a lot of buzz and stuff. I think my favorite one is what's that one called? The one where they sing about love. Love is an Open Door.
Yeah.
Love is an Open Door.
That is a really fun song.
It's a very catchy song. In fact, I wonder, I don't have iTunes up, so I won't. Oh, yes, I do. I'm going to see how many times I've listened to that song. it's kind of a lot. Let's see.
I think Let It Go is the strongest standalone song, which is possibly why it's getting the most buzz.
Yeah.
The rest of them work pretty well in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that Let It Go has that sort of staying power. 55 times.
55 times, ladies and gentlemen.
I've listened to Love is an Open Door. But yeah, they're really catchy songs. But another thing that I like about the songs is that they are sung, they reflect the feelings of the characters, and I think that's what makes them so good in the movie and work so well. They don't necessarily reflect, I think, the views of the movie itself. Like, each one of the songs, like even Let It Go is an example of, like, a lot of the themes of the movie of, like, letting things go and, like, being true to yourself. And, like, a lot of that are, I think, themes of the movie. But they also, in that moment, Elsa is still kind of distancing herself from her family. And it's not, she's not totally, you know, making a good decision exactly at that point. And the same thing with Love is an Open Door. It's like this catchy love song between people that are, like, totally not in a real relationship and they don't realize it yet.
Right.
And one is, like, manipulating the other person.
Right.
But it's so catchy.
I think that what you just said is part of what makes it rewarding to see a second time.
Yeah.
That's true. There
just because even the songs take on kind of a new light.
When you see it the first time, you don't know if Love is an Open Door is real. Like, you're supposed to take this seriously. Is this a real love song?
And that makes it ridiculous. A little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And that's
it's like a ridiculous love song.
Right, you're like, am I supposed to know that this is ridiculous or just accept love?
Yeah.
It's hard to know in a Disney movie.
Right. Okay, well, let's talk now maybe about the way...
Wait. We had some criticisms about the music.
Okay.
Do you remember this?
Right, yeah. What do you think?
Well, we all agreed that there's something weird about the fact that the movie stops being a musical at the end.
Right.
Yeah. So, as much as we have been gushing about how much we loved it, I think we were all very disappointed that it, about, like, 20... Would you say, like, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Before the ending, like, the music just stops. Or they don't have any, songs.
Yeah.
And that was sad. They had so many opportunities to do, like, a final awesome song and just complete it, like, make it a real musical. Yeah.
I know. It's really sad because, and I want to say, too, that I think that the ending works. Like, it's a really good ending as far as just, like, good action and good interesting stuff going on and really good character stuff. It works, but yeah, it stops being a musical. It's so sad.
I was literally the first time, like, and this is the first time I was waiting and expecting one more song.
And exciting.
Yeah. And excited about it. I was like, they're going to do the last song. It's going to be the finale. And then there was, like Derek said, like, it was a very satisfying ending in terms of, like, the plot and how the characters wrapped up. But I just wanted their song.
I have to assume that was a conscious decision. Like, I don't think that they just forgot. Like, I mean, right?
I don't know. It seems
like people who had written Broadways would be like, oh, maybe a final song?
maybe
not.
Maybe,
It seems like there must have been some conscious reason for it. Maybe it didn't think that it worked. I don't really know.
But yeah, I don't know.
I'd be interested to know.
The soundtrack has some songs that were left on the cutting room floor.
Wow.
But they don't, and that's a really, actually, for that reason, like, the deluxe soundtrack is such a cool thing because you really get some insight into making the musical and stuff. They have these demos, but there's not a song that would have been at the end. I don't know. If that's an evidence of that. But so the thing, so we were kind of trying to create one, like, if we were to, because actually, let me say this too. One of the reasons that makes it so frustrating that there's not a final song is you have Jonathan Groff.
Yes.
In this amazing role.
Yeah.
And
he doesn't really sing.
He doesn't sing at all.
He sings one little ditty.
He sings the reindeer ditty, and that's a fun little thing.
Right.
Where's Jonathan Groff? Although his talking voice is really...
He has a beautiful talking voice.
Yeah, it really, it almost makes up for it.
Yeah. Thought it was gorgeous.
Yeah, really, really good. But yeah, that final song. So what were the ways that we sort of invented how they could do a final song? Yeah.
I said reprise Let It Go and have it be about letting go of fear and accepting love into your life.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great idea.
That would have been great.
We also thought one where, so this is like spoiler, at the end when...
They're all
running through kind of the icy wasteland, and Kristoff is coming back to save Anna, and Hans is trying to go kill Elsa, and there's all this stuff going on. Yeah. There would be like a great, there could be a great song where you cut between each of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like in the spirit of like West Side Story, like the Tonight, mm-hmm. you know, the, right before the Rumble. Mm-hmm. That yeah. Man. So there, that is disappointing about the songs. But I think as far as musicals, especially animated musicals of the last few years with like mm-hmm. Tangled and I don't know, Corpse Bride, that was kind of a long time ago, but there's been sort of a trend of having songs in animated musicals but not really being mm-hmm. musicals, and with other than that one exception of the ending, all the songs in Frozen really do feel like a return to that form, which mm-hmm. was really nice.
Yeah Although I think Princess and the Frog is a pretty
Princess
well
and the
constructed
Frog is,
musical.
Yeah, but yeah. I guess it's not computer animation.
It's not computer,
that's true. But it all, I don't know. It also, the songs are good, but there's not, I don't know, there's not as not enough of them or something. I don't know. It or maybe it's just that Randy Newman, I love Randy Newman, but maybe he's just not a musical sort of, they sound like Randy Newman songs.
I think they were pretty good.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Maybe I should revisit.
I think it counts, but I haven't revisited it for a while.
For a while, yeah.
But it definitely has the, it moves the plot along, mm-hmm. and it's not Tangled. I mean, I feel like there's right. a really significant
Tangled
difference. Tangled
very
is a,
much had, like, music videos inside
right.
of a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I feel Tangled was, which I love Tangled, but it just didn't feel like a Disney musical. And Princess and the Frog did feel like a Disney musical.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe maybe Princess the Frog did. Okay, so anything else about the music we want to say?
I think so.
We've covered it. Okay.
Talk about Idina Menzel or anything?
No. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess, yeah, all the voices are awesome.
Yeah.
And they're all Broadway, which is interesting. They're all, mm-hmm. all the main, they're not like movie stars. They have, I mean, Kristen Bell is kind of a TV star, but she actually was on Broadway too. I didn't know this. Yeah. She was in like a Tom Sawyer something or other. Mm-hmm. And then I have Idina Menzel from Wicked and all those other things. And, it's Jonathan Groff. And then Hans is played by Santiago something. And maybe we should check that out. So he was on Broadway, and I actually mentioned this in the podcast last week. I realized afterwards I saw him on Broadway this summer.
Where?
In Cinderella. And he's awesome in Cinderella. Really good stuff. He's like the prince.
He was the prince.
That's his thing.
And see, yeah, exactly.
He
so.
Is a good prince.
I did think it was interesting that Let It Go is thematically and somewhat in sound very similar to Defying Gravity.
that's true, including the singer.
Right, yeah. And I was like, I don't know if this is an intentional thing or what.
So his name is Santino Fontana, and I apologize
because
I totally totally butchered that name. But anyway, yeah, they're all really great, great voice acting. Okay, let's talk about how Frozen fits in the sort of category of Disney princess movie, and maybe you can have some thoughts on this, Victoria. Tell us about your research. It's been a while. It's been several months since you finished with this.
Yes, but no, I remember.
Yeah.
So I wrote an honors thesis entitled "Gender Stereotyping." And Disney princesses and gender stereotyping in preschool girls, which I think the things about the preschool girls are unimportant for this discussion, but it does mean that I spent many months reading every academic article about Disney princesses that anybody ever wrote. So I spent many months immersed in the criticism of Disney princesses, and also as a person who grew up on Disney princesses too. So now I sort of watch the genre with great interest, and I do think that in many ways Disney has recently been almost responding like point for point to Disney princess criticism. That they're like, that it'll be things like, criticism says this, make a princess who does this, you know? I did see some of that in Frozen, that there were a lot of, I mean, the whole movie is a lot of subverting the stereotypes, but it definitely answered a lot of recent criticism about Disney princesses.
Interesting. So, I guess, what are the ways that Frozen does that? How does Frozen respond to that?
There's a couple. So one is, many people criticize that Disney princesses are often the only female in the movie and have, like, no other female support or mm-hmm. whatever. So having two main female characters was pretty big. And then also, many people talk about, let's see, one thing that it did not do is many people discuss the princesses' body types and them being very similar.
Right.
Still just 100% the same there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
really
whereas
no
Brave was cool because it had a main princess character that, like, had a normal body type.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen kind of goes back to the normal Barbie whatever sort of shape that
yeah.
Tangled had and everything like that.
Right. Yeah. And then also, but they did a few things. Anna is a very competent princess. Yeah. They managed to make her both very feminine and competent. They often are criticized for being really passive is a big criticism, and she's quite active.
Yeah.
And very assertive in a lot of ways. A lot of times they're criticized for they don't. I remember this one study in particular that said that Disney princesses only gave like commands or orders to animals or children in both. They did a content analysis and they only ever ordered around animals or children, whereas like men like would give commands to like anybody.
Yeah,
and Anna gives commands to Kristoff. She says we're going up the mountain now. Like,
yeah,
and so lots of things like that, which is interesting.
Oh, that
so
that
it
is
would pass a lot of content analyses.
That's cool. Yeah, and it also the whole idea of like getting married really quickly, you know, like is a really funny thing, because it seems like that's a big sort of trope that people these types of movies have, where they meet somebody and they fall in love instantly. And right. but here they sort of like openly mock that idea of like meeting somebody.
Which is interesting because it's like, who created that stereotype?
Yeah.
You created that stereotype, right. But whatever.
It sort of reminds, I mean, I haven't seen Enchanted in a long time, but it seems like Enchanted was sort of self-referential that way too. Like Disney was kind of taking on that sort of thing of challenging the Disney princess stuff. But here, this is the thing about the way they do it in Frozen though that I think is really interesting, which is, it doesn't feel like a direct, I don't know, like attack. It feels like it's very authentic to itself. Like it just, all the characters just feel like they do what they would do. Frozen doesn't feel like a political move or
Brave
or
felt like that. A political move.
Yeah, Brave kind of did actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say Brave and kind of Enchanted too.
Yeah.
Felt sort of political.
I would agree. In fact, recently, this past week, I got very upset on Facebook by commentaries that people made.
You think you're the first person to ever get upset on Facebook?
I think I am the first one.
I think.
Of all places to get upset, it was on Facebook. No, but just kind of referencing what Victoria was saying about them breaking kind of some of the Disney stereotypes and challenging the typical Disney princesses and stuff. I think they did it in, like you were saying, Derek, kind of in like the exact right way. It wasn't heavy-handed, or it felt just true to the story and true to the characters, and it didn't feel like they were trying to make a big statement or anything. It just was like, oh, this is a different kind of story, and all of these all of this lends itself to the story as it is. Yeah. And anyways, one of my friends on Facebook was saying that he thought it was a movie about how men aren't important or something like that, and I was like so annoyed by that.
He thought that Frozen was a movie that was trying to say men are not important.
Yeah, something like, pretty good movie about how men aren't important. And I thought, that's not true at all. It just happens to be a movie where, like, two sisters take center stage, and that at the end, the man doesn't end up, like, saving the woman, but that was, but Hans and Kristoff are both, like, interesting, complex characters. Kristoff is super competent, super essential, like, they wouldn't have been able to do anything without him getting up the mountain, you know, so he's his own, it's not like, he's so rounded and important in the plot.
Yeah, none of them are devices. Actually, that's another thing kind of that Brave... I think Brave could be criticized of that. All the men in Brave are kind of doofuses, you know?
Well, and it was almost like this thing where it was like men can be competent, or women can be competent when there are no good men around.
Yeah, right.
Like,
that's sort of... Yeah, no, sadly, that's sort of the implicit message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas here, they're just a bunch of characters. So I'm going to say something that may be a little controversial.
Whoa.
Okay.
Maybe, throw it down.
Maybe. But I was, after seeing Frozen 5 times, I was thinking, you know what I would really love to see? And this seems crazy, but I would kind of love to see a Frozen 2. So let me hear you out. Let me hear me out.
Okay.
And the reason is this.
No.
So normally I feel like movies, especially like fairy tale movies, you don't do a sequel to a fairy tale, you know what I mean?
Oh, you sure do.
Yeah, right, there are, but they're terrible.
Aladdin 2,
although Aladdin 3 is actually pretty good. Aladdin 3 is kind of,
good, but I haven't seen it since I was like 7.
But anyway, yeah, actually me too. But, so, disclaimer. But no, here's why. Frozen, one of the strengths of Frozen that I love so much is that all the characters feel so real to me. Like, it felt like these characters are making their own choices, so I want a sequel so I can just hang out with them more. I just want to meet them more.
I understand that feeling, but this isn't really what you want.
Good things can't last forever.
No, all I can do is just see Frozen again and again and again. That's the solution.
Maybe Disney has another great creative movie coming out.
But I do think that they could do... I agree that it's not a good idea, but also maybe it is the best idea, because they could do a sequel and make it like, what Anna was saying, how you turn things into a tropical paradise rather than into a winter wonderland.
Whoa!
It could be called, it could be called Melted. Okay, I'm just...
And it could be about, like, Olaf's, being in danger. Disney, are you listening? That's about global warming.
Now global warming, political. Okay.
Okay, maybe
But we should talk about Olaf.
Yeah, we should. I can't believe we haven't talked about Olaf at all yet.
I love him.
Yeah. Why do you love Olaf? Because you love warm hugs.
I love warm hugs, and he is just 100% delightful. Let me try and think of why I love him more. Maybe someone else has a comment.
I can say that, like, he is one of the most impressive comic relief sidekick characters that I've ever seen.
Wow.
Really. I mean,
that's quite a statement.
Well, I think, like, the advertising of Frozen reminded me very much of the advertising for Treasure Planet. Which you will recall was Disney's greatest financial loss on an animated film.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Okay. And it's a good movie. It's quite good. But I blame the advertising because they focused on the comic relief robot, who was annoying. And not that good. And this the advertising for Frozen, a lot of it, like about half at least of it, were focused heavily on Olaf.
Yeah.
Which,
And Sven.
Yeah, which is weird. I'm still a little confused by that move. But I when I saw those ads, I was like, oh no, it's Treasure Planet all over again.
Yeah.
But it didn't turn out to be that way. But... I was very pleasantly surprised by how legitimately funny Olaf is.
Right, yeah.
He made me laugh all three times.
Three times in 3 days, laughed at every joke.
Yeah.
All three times.
Yeah, no, they're great. They're great jokes. They're delivered really well. It's great writing.
His song is a shining moment for me. We haven't talked about it, but his song was lovely.
That's right. So, in fact, let's actually hear that right now.
You don't have much experience with heat.
Nope. But sometimes I like to close my eyes and imagine what it'd be like when summer does come. Bees will buzz, kids will blow dandelion fuzz, and I'll be doing whatever snow does in summer. I drink in my hand, my snow up against the burning sand, probably getting gorgeously tanned in summer. Finally see a summer breeze blow away a winter storm, and find out what happens to solid water when it gets warm. And I can't wait to see what my buddies all think of me. Just imagine how much cooler I'll be in summer.
All right, so that was Josh Gad singing In Summer from the Frozen soundtrack. You're listening to the Pixar Podcast. Episode number 109 is where you... And so the show notes are available at thepixarpodcast.com/109. I'm Derek Clements here with Brooke Parker and Victoria Birkbeck. We're reviewing Frozen. So we were just talking about Olaf and how charming and delightful he is. One thing about Olaf, too, is that he's the type of character like Iago, for example, is like an animal that's kind of loud and stuff.
Obnoxious. And just really not obnoxious. Annoying.
Yeah, like Iago is kind of mean and like sarcastic and just sort of, you know, annoying. And one thing about Olaf is that he actually speaks pretty quietly, which I think is an interesting thing. Like
but he has a funny voice.
It's almost like he's whispering part of the time, which is like weird, like funny. You would expect him to be just like really loud, obnoxious character, but he's actually kind of not. He's very gentle.
Sun and summer and all things hot.
Yeah, exactly.
He's so guileless.
You know, actually, I was talking to a friend of ours about Olaf, and we talked about how the majority of his comedic effect is due to timing, which is hard to script. So you've read the script. Is he 100% just scripted?
No, so I was listening to an interview with Jennifer Lee, the screenwriter, and a lot of his stuff was sort of improvised with Josh Gad.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, in the recording
studio.
That
explains a lot of it, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Josh Gad is a really funny
guy. Because, like, how do you pull off how do you write a line like, I don't have a skull? Or bones.
and be like,
oh, that's a funny joke.
Yeah.
You definitely have it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like something you could write in. It just felt kind of organic in the moment and very funny in that surprising funny way.
Yeah, it's true. And I love the whole joke of like, he wants to be. I just love the idea that he wants to be in this thing that is totally going to kill him. Like, he has no idea. And then Chris Evans is like, we should tell him. Somebody should tell him. But I don't know. There's just something so sweet about that sort of excitement.
And when he sings his song, I actually was like, he has a point. It would be great to be like, cold and hot and things hot.
Right. So I had epiphany the other day, actually, because a lot of you, if you're listening to the United States, we actually have some outside the United States that listen sometimes.
That is impressive.
Yeah, it's fun. But so we had this big cold front that happened over the across the United States, and here in Utah, it like boom snow, and which was perfect for like right after we saw Frozen, and then like boom,
it turned into a Frozen Wonderland.
It was really, really lovely. Yeah. But that line of the hot and the cold are both so intense, put them together at Christmas. That I experienced that because I was standing waiting for the bus. And I had gone into the gas station, and I got a hot cocoa, and I was standing there in the snow, drinking my cocoa, and waiting for the bus, and I thought of Olaf, it was true, that's exactly how I felt.
Yeah.
Put them together, and it just makes sense. Yeah,
and
exactly.
The snowmen can just lounge in a hot tub.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you were like.
That's what I was like. But we were talking about Olaf, too, about sort of how the origins of Olaf, like Olaf actually, talk about that, Brooke.
Okay, so after seeing it for the third time,
we started to really analyze it,
but there is something kind of lovely in it, that there are two kind of, well, there's three non-human characters, but there are two snowman characters.
Yeah.
Olaf, and then I think Marshmallow is the name of the big, scary snowman. So both of these snowmen were created by Elsa with her powers, and we kind of thought it was really neat that Olaf was made kind of in a happy moment when she was playing with her sister, and he was created out of love, and so he's kind of an embodiment of the happy love between sisters, and the kind of the whole message of the film about embracing love and letting go of fear. Yeah. And then the other big snowman that chases people away from her ice castle, that was kind of the embodiment of fear.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because that snowman's not like pure evil or anything, but it's just he's afraid and he's protecting kind of her.
Maybe we should talk a little more about Elsa. Elsa weirdly is like a main character but also a side character.
Yeah, I guess would you guys say Anna is like the main
sort of her story? You spend the most time with Anna for sure. So
but Elsa, so I think that this movie depicts emotional distance and depression and things that I think it's in a real, and I think this is what is so compelling about the movie and what makes it so interesting for me and why this character feels so real, because it really does sort of feel like that. I mean, there's a lot of relatable feelings to when Elsa is just like finally able to be alone, like by herself, like that there's something that seems kind of real and genuine about that. That feeling, but and also just this idea that she like casts people away, that she doesn't want to hurt her loved ones, and so she isolates herself. But she doesn't realize that she is hurting her loved ones by isolating herself,
right?
Which is the great paradox of it all.
Yeah, and I really like that they have the same power that can be both good and bad. That she can create Olaf and a scary snow monster, and I think it like has a lot to do with sort of. You know, your own, I don't know, emotions or inner self, that almost everybody has, like, one aspect of their personality that can both be really damaging and really great.
Yeah, totally. It's just lovely. And I think one of the best visualizations of that is in that, this Do You Want to Build a Snowman song. Mm-hmm. When you, it's, I that's the part that I was crying the first time I saw the movie. And man, it's just because you just feel for her. She's like, do you want to build a snowman? And she's like, no. And she's like, okay, bye. It's so sad.
Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah, it's so sad. And you see it go. But then finally when they're like, adults and their parents have died.
Mm-hmm.
And
spoiler.
Right. Well, died. That's early on.
It's Disney.
That
though,
is a repeated Disney trope that Frozen did not break.
Right. Well, actually, and I heard Jennifer Lee talk about how like they realized that like, why do we have to kill the parents? But they realized that they just had to for the story.
Sometimes
but
you have to kill the parents.
Sometimes you have to do it. But anyway, so her parents die, and Elsa doesn't go to the funeral. Even you see that.
Yeah.
And so Anna comes home from the funeral and just like knocks on the door and just really, I want to talk to you. Will you please let me in? And she doesn't. And then you have that great shot of, like, Anna sitting on the one side of the door just sad, and then the other side of the door, Elsa, and, like, in her little frozen Iceland, in her bedroom, all alone by herself. It's just so beautiful.
There's also a really interesting, this struck me a couple times, which is, like, a weird detail, but there's an interesting way that the ice is patterned. It almost looks like it exploded from one spot. You see, I don't know if anybody else knows this, but there's, like, stripes.
Nice.
And you can almost imagine that, like, maybe when she, like, heard, it just, like, fell apart or something, you know?
Also, there's an interesting use of snow. It seems like at important moments, the snow becomes suspended kind of in time and in air. Have you noticed that?
Yes, yes.
And so in that scene with the two sides of the door, she's sitting kind of in her frozen room and the snowflakes are suspended. It seems like when she's especially sad, they are like suspended in grief or something. I don't know. But it's very visually stunning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, totally. Oh,
and I do think that Elsa maybe could have used a little bit longer of a wrap up at the end of the movie. It kind of goes like she sort of is like, oh, love.
Yeah, it's pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah. It is a little fast.
It reminded
me. I don't mind that.
I think it was okay, but it did remind me for a second. Or I was trying to analyze if I felt like it was too fast, and I thought of the movie Ponyo. Have you seen that?
I actually haven't seen it.
Okay, so that one, I'm trying to remember all the details. I don't remember all of them, but he needs to solve a problem, too. And the solution is kind of similar. It's like true love or true friendship or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in that one, it feels kind of cheap. And, like, he goes to this underwater, she goes to an underwater world. He does with her. Yeah, the main character is a little boy with his friend. The person is like, you just need to be friends. And then he's like, oh, and then it solves the problem immediately.
Huh. Yeah.
And that one felt like there wasn't enough payoff or it wasn't building up. But anyways, paralleling it with Frozen, it was a little quick. But I felt like it worked. I don't know why exactly.
This is kind of why I want the, like, reprise of Let It Go.
Song.
Like, I just want her to, like, learn a little bit and be, like, because she just is, like, got
so,
it!
So instantly gets love rather than fear when her whole life has been fear.
Yeah. Well, maybe there was something in the sacrifice that Anna does.
That's
like,
true.
Maybe that's the thing that made it click for her. Like, oh, wow, Anna doesn't just want to, like, bug me or doesn't want to just spend time with me or whatever. Like, she just
also,
really
Anna
loves me.
Proves that, she loves Elsa in spite and, like, knowing full well, like, that she chased her out of a castle with a giant scary snowman.
Knowing
still,
everything.
It is actually really surprising. Elsa. We talked about this the other day with another friend, but somehow it still works for me as well, but that just how much Anna, it, like, persistently loves Elsa when apparently since she was, like, 6 years old, her sister 100% ignored her, and they didn't have any kind of good relationship, and yet she still feels like she can say, like, she's my sister, she'll never hurt me.
Yeah.
When
that
we're
is
like,
interesting.
She's been hurting her whole life, emotionally, at
least.
Right.
But she still has some, like, confidence. Maybe it's just remembering good times when they're little.
Yeah.
I think that she always suspected that something happened, because she said, like, tell me why we can't be friends anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, like, such a light switch. Like,
they
were best buddies, and now they're not.
Yeah, yeah.
They used to be best buddies.
exactly.
And now they're not. I wish
you
would tell me why.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's...
So she knows that something happened. I think she knows that.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe also she, I mean, she really wants love, too. Maybe
that's
she's
true.
Just really willing to...
They only have each other.
They only have each other. All the lyrics that explain the movie.
Yeah.
Those are good lyrics.
What a well-written film. Explaining itself so effectively.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so let's see. We're talking about Elsa. Anything else we want to say about Elsa? And about the characters? I guess.
Oh,
yeah.
I have one more thing.
Okay.
One other thing in the genre of breaking princess stereotypes.
Right.
I have never really seen an American princess character or any, like, I've never seen a, I feel like I've never seen an animated character who had such intense powers that Elsa's kind of scary. Like,
yeah.
I can't really think of any other, like, children's movie where I've seen such a scary female character who wasn't, like, a villain, you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
She has, like, superpowers.
Right,
yeah.
she has really cool powers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? I like that they don't explain, like, the origins or whatever.
Right.
I like that she just has magic.
Norway is magical. If you ride the ride at Disney World, you will
Ride?
Oh, well, in Epcot, there's Norway, and there's a ride called Norway.
Whoa! It's got to be a Frozen thing
now. It's called Maelstrom, and it's just the story of Norway. There's oil rigs.
Whoa!
It's great.
I wonder if it still running?
Oh, yeah.
I am absolutely positive
that Anna and Elsa are in the Norway section of Epcot, because they have princesses in their course.
Right,
in their countries.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm sure that's where they are these days. But anyway, yeah. It's a great ride.
She's very powerful, and there's that very climactic moment. For me, it was like, mm-hmm. It's very tense all three times I watched it when mm-hmm. she is getting a little out of hand with her power. She's just really mm-hmm. afraid, and so she's being cruel
mm-hmm.
to people and almost like pushing
right.
her
attackers. The people that, they're trying to kill her, you know.
They are,
but
they're trying to get her,
she's really getting into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then who, is it, this is interesting, is it Hans that tells her to stop?
So is Hans totally evil? I mean, he is, right? But I don't know.
You know, I don't know, because I feel like there's a suggestion in the end, their punishment for him is like, we'll send him back to his brothers. And it seems a little bit like they're like, you've been behaving badly and your brothers will disapprove. But they kind of seem to have this idea that, like, maybe he could change, like, that he doesn't, I don't know, they don't kill him. Many early Disney villains are just sort of, like, thrown into fire.
Yeah.
You know?
Or even, like, in Tangled, the mom is killed.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of
I don't think he's 100% bad. It gives him some sort of, like, backstory and reason. He felt ignored.
He seems
he was
a little
the youngest
young and foolish.
Of the
12.
Young and foolish, yeah. But the thing
like,
is,
pretty
like,
mean.
Yeah, pretty terrible.
Pretty, like,
he's willing to murder.
Yeah.
And, like, also willing to, like, totally mess up this woman that he's gonna marry.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, pretty, he gets pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
maybe we're letting off a little easy.
Yeah, maybe we are. But, Oh, the other thing, I don't know if we mentioned this explicitly, the other thing that it really departs is that the true love, the act of true love is not between boy and girl.
Yeah, yeah.
It's between sisters. That is just beautiful.
It makes it more true, I feel.
Yeah.
That was the other thing that in my Facebook fight that I was in.
Yes.
It was a very tame fight, I would say. But just, I think the person kind of expanded a little and said, yeah, but the male character was doing, like, trying as hard as to save her, and then she just went and saved herself. And I thought, A, she didn't save herself because she was sacrificing herself. She didn't really know that that would have saved her. She just was trying to, like, selflessly sacrifice herself for her sister.
Yeah.
That's
and that is
love.
What saved her. That was the true love.
I mean,
and I thought, if it ended with the true love's kiss, that would have been the worst ending between Kristoff
and
Anna. So unsatisfying.
Yeah. Totally.
So,
yeah.
I was just like, what do you even want?
And when have you ever seen that kind of selflessness? Like, I mean, like, early Disney movies, Prince kisses Sleeping Beauty, but, like, he's not sacrificing himself.
Right.
Like, I mean, he's waking her up, which is nice. Like, nice. But, like, Snow White, same thing. Like, they do just face, like, danger.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think if there's another movie where somebody does something so, like, entirely not self-interested.
Right.
You know?
Well, you know, actually, this is sort of like that, which Tangled is sort of like this. I saw Tangled after I saw Frozen, and it kind of was disturbing because, so Rapunzel has known this guy for a little bit, like,
mm-hmm.
they talk about
they
it in Frozen.
They went on an adventure.
They went on an adventure together.
Yeah.
They fell in love, but also a big part of that time, he was kind of rude to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the movie,
exactly.
Boys will be boys. And then at the end of the movie, she's like, I will sacrifice my entire life so that I can save this dude.
Yeah.
That just, like, really stood out to me in light of what Frozen does and the type of true love that you have in Frozen. It, I think it really stands out now, but that's another example for somebody's sacrifices, but it's for a dude. But I also,
it makes a little more sense, I feel like, for a sister that, I mean, even if she's ignored you, you haven't known her for your whole life.
Right,
like,
yeah. And it doesn't diminish the romance, too. Like, the romance between Kristoff and Anna is awesome. It's great.
Still
and
great.
I love the way it ends. And it's such a tribute to consent. Also, where he's like, "Let's may we," and then she says yes, and then they kiss.
Yeah,
it's such a great
is that the first
moment.
Like, "Can I kiss you" moment?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it
we're
may
breaking
be.
Breaking
yeah,
ground,
I,
folks.
Yeah, I cannot think.
Can
of
"Can I kiss you" moment,
right.
And like so adorable, maybe like one of the cutest, most like satisfying kisses. Yeah,
can be very romantic.
Exactly.
There's no need to think that it can't be romantic.
Exactly, guys.
It's a plug for the evening.
if you get nothing else out of the podcast, consent.
Can
be yeah, consent, guys. I anything else we want to talk about? The one thing when we were talking about how we wish there was a final song,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people have been saying that Frozen is structured like a Broadway musical. In the way that it's, there aren't that many locations, really, and a lot of things happen in the same locations. And even the special effects, like in the Let It Go song, when she's changing the dress, and her dress into white, and like the castle's built up around, it's almost like something you could imagine being done on stage, you know?
Totally, yeah.
And so I wonder if they will make a stage version.
That'd be pretty bold. Only really classic Disney movies ever become stage musicals.
Well, no, it's been a more recent trend. So it started with Beauty and the Beast and Lion King, but they're doing an Aladdin now. And I guess that's
classic.
They did
Little Mermaid and
Little
they started
Mermaid?
To venture into the 90s
Yeah,
stuff.
That's true. It's all
but
90s stuff.
But those are
stuff.
Still old, like very proven movies.
That's a good point. In
really...
Germany, they did a Hunchback version, which that's sort of interesting. It never happened in America.
Hmm.
I think it was Germany. So you're right. I guess they are kind of older, but that would be interesting to see that.
But we haven't had many, as we were talking about before, like solid musicals in a long time.
Right.
Anyway,
though. Yeah. But I think if they did a stage version, they'll probably put a last song in.
That's
and it'll be like
true.
Redemption.
That, okay, more than a sequel to Frozen, I just want the stage version
just
with
stage
the last
version.
Song. I want a last song.
I just want a last song,
I
guys.
Agree. Yeah.
They can even just release, like, a single.
Yeah.
They can just, like, release a single
they
like,
can
on iTunes.
They can re-release Frozen in a few years.
Yeah.
Edited with the last
edited
song.
Edited with the last song. That would be great.
Yeah.
Is this a common complaint? Have other people been talking about this last song thing, or is it just us?
No, well, I think it's just us.
love a good last song, like that glorious feeling you get when you're like, this is the last song and it's the best song.
Actually, I haven't, so there isn't a lot of other people complaining about
apparently not
the last song, because that was like my instant feedback, like kind of one of the only things I really knew as soon as it ended that I wanted to be different,
right?
Because other than that I was just like really excited about the movie, but I was like,
yeah.
Last songs are incredibly satisfying.
Yeah, they can be very. Then there is we should. There's a tiny little chicken bone that they throw.
They replay the thing.
They replay Let It Go in the credits.
No.
Oh, and they redo the.
There's the sort of like choral stuff that comes back. So
that was a little satisfying. I got kind of shivers.
Yeah,
from that part.
You know, and it's a good scene.
I was like,
said.
The world is melting. It was beautiful, but then I was like, while they skate together as a town. With the princesses, they're going to sing again.
Yeah.
Like, I just kept on waiting for it.
I know. Oh, and that other thing about that last scene. Olaf gets to stay alive.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, his little flurry.
Glorious brand of Disney magic.
Exactly.
Where things work out.
Okay, a couple other random thoughts. The acting in this movie is something I want to highlight, because this is something, again, you can only do it in CG in this particular way, that there's a lot of really interesting... expressions. Like, they make expressions that are so individualized. I remember something, I think it was Brad Bird, director of The Incredibles, was talking about The Jungle Book is, like, one of the best things, one of the best animated movies, because every single character in The Jungle Book moves like the type of animal that they are.
Oh, I see.
But they don't only move like the type of animal that they are, they also move like the type of person that they are.
Interesting.
Like, they each have their own way of moving. Mm-hmm. They don't all, even if they're all on four legs, they don't all move the same. Same thing with Frozen. Like, all the characters, they act like their own individual people.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Even, I mean, it's pretty impressive that, like, Anna and Elsa are distinctive looking. Like, they, like, even being sisters and whatever, they're not copies of the same person.
Right.
Either.
Yeah. So, all right. Cool.
We didn't talk about the trolls.
The trolls. How do we feel about the trolls?
I was like a little so-so with the trolls.
A little so-so with
but,
the trolls.
But I feel like they needed a magical element and a wise person to go and get help from and stuff.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's like they're an entire creature that's unique to that film.
But also is a legend in Norway. Is, you know, correct to the setting.
To that setting.
Kristoff's story with the trolls is a little strange. That he, the beginning shot is with these men who cut the ice.
Right.
Who are based on the what?
The
Sami.
Sami, yes. These people of Norway. They never appear again, and they have, for some reason, this child and young moose going with them, who are then kidnapped by trolls forever.
Apparently.
That's what the story is?
Yeah, but it's oddly...
Well, it's like they're adopted by
adopted.
Adopted. But, like, who was his parents? Like, why? I mean, he says they weren't around, but, like, okay, whatever, I know, I'm rambling. But I'm just saying that, like, the whole, like, it was a little strange that the movie started with them, and then it was like...
Mm-hmm.
But I we were talking about that the other day, but I liked what you said earlier in our discussion about how it was just kind of like a setting song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, in the end, that group of ice, what are they called? Ice cutters didn't end up even being the Sami people.
Right.
Men except didn't end up being part of it all, except for Kristoff. But that kind of gave you background, and it set, like, this is Norway, this is ice.
Yeah.
Right.
And that song had, like, nice... foreshadowing to all of the themes.
Yeah, the frozen heart.
Very true,
Yeah, exactly. The setup is a little bit hasty, I think, at the beginning, like when you find out about Sven and Kristoff and stuff. It's a little bit
quick. I'm going to
keep
you.
Yeah, I'm going to keep you, yeah.
That's
Okay.
And by the way, that voice actor, the woman in that woman troll, also was in Book of Mormon, too. There's, like, so many Book of Mormon references to this. Josh Gad and her. I should look up her name, too. But anyway, the other thing about the trolls is I love the sort of troll logic or the magic logic of the movie, where it's this idea that, like, you can fix a head very easily, but a heart is not so easily changed. Like, it makes no sense, but it also makes perfect sense. Like, it makes emotional sense in the sort of fantasy
it
world.
It is interesting that Disney really did not play with the idea at all that love just solves everything. Still very, like, love solves everything. Different, like, they expanded what that love can be. Like, it's not just romantic. But they very much went for this very simple life lesson that they often go for.
Yeah.
Love conquers all and fixes all the problems.
And it's fine. It's a nice message.
That's nice. I feel like that is just...
I have a frozen heart.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Your heart is frozen.
My heart is frozen.
So, okay, speaking of frozen hearts, I guess we're pretty much wrapping up, but I did want to mention a little bit about the short, maybe? Do we want to talk about the short in the beginning?
Sure, we can talk about the short.
Maybe
we don't. Do we want to talk about the
short? I don't care.
Whatever.
We can go... Okay, everybody say one sentence about the short.
Okay.
I will say that it was a little bit weird and uncomfortable, but definitely trying to be a throwback to kind of like these classic Disney animations with the cartoon violence and weird udders on cows.
I found it a little gimmicky with the 3D thing, and I felt that it recycled sexist tropes that the industry should attempt to push.
Yeah.
A little more.
And I can see that point. I see it... My experience with the short was the same as Skyfall, the James Bond movie. Everybody loves Skyfall, and I saw Skyfall, and I was like, this is just as terrible and gross as every James Bond movie that has ever been made. But it was like a throwback to the other things. And I kind of used the same logic to defend this other short, which is like not very good logic, but it sort of worked for me.
Yeah, well, it does that.
Yeah. All right, well, okay, any other final thoughts that we have about Frozen? Do we recommend it?
We recommend
it. We wholeheartedly recommend it.
My final thought would be that usually I'm very grumpy and mad about winter.
Mm-hmm.
But
about
like the day after Frozen, my the whole state of Utah turned into a frozen...
Our bikes are literally frozen to the ground right now.
But I decided when I walked out, I really feel this is a good review for the movie because I think like it crept into my actual life and feelings towards things.
Yeah, I agree.
That is a good plug for the movie.
Yeah, and I felt that I had learned from the movie that ice and snow can be both beautiful and dangerous.
Yes.
And that I was going to just embrace that aspect of winter. And I thought, you know, this is dangerous and sometimes uncomfortable, but also it's beautiful. And so I'm going to enjoy this more. And the movie helped me to do that. And
I
so
agree.
Go see Frozen if your heart is frozen about winter.
That is right. Real quick, Maya Wilson is her name, the other actress that plays one of the trolls. And she's the main singer in Fixer Upper.
Ah, yes.
But she's also in Book of Mormon.
Yes.
Final thoughts, Victoria?
The troll's name is Bulda, apparently.
Yes, Bulda is her name.
Final thoughts, name. It's a great movie. I applaud Disney for moving forward in a lot of ways, and I hope they continue to do so.
Yeah, it makes me very excited to... Frozen made me really reflect on the movies, sort of since John Lasseter has come to Disney, and I think it really shows a great progress. Like, Bolt was sort of the one he first worked on, but then you have Princess and the Frog, and then Tangled, and then Winnie the Pooh, and then Wreck-It Ralph, and now this, and I think they've gotten kind of steadily better. The thing that I love about, especially Winnie the Pooh and Wreck-It Ralph, and Frozen, is that they're very just sincere movies. They just are, they're not trying to be sarcastic, or they're not embarrassed to be themselves. I think Tangled's a little bit embarrassed to be a musical or something. They're always, all the jokes are kind of undercutting itself. But in Frozen and the last couple of Disney movies, just, they are what they are. It's Winnie the Pooh, or it's a video game man, or it's some sisters that are having issues, and one of them is magical. But whatever it is, like, it's awesome. So I completely love Frozen. I think it's probably going to be my favorite movie this year, maybe.
It's a weak year for movies, also.
It is, that's true. It is, yeah.
I will say overall, but it is also very good.
Yeah, I enjoyed Gravity a lot. There's some good indie movies that happened this year. But yeah, Frozen ranks up really high, and probably my favorite animated movie in a long time. I love Monsters U, too. It's hard to... compare.
Monsters U was very good. Yeah. I mean, are we counting Pixar in this thing?
Like, I am counting Pixar, actually. Yeah, I think that Frozen is better. I think it's in that level, and I think it's
in the level. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's better than Brave. I think it's better than. I mean, who cares? Kind of these sort of ranking things, but just to say that, like, it's really.
It's hard to compare Monsters U and Frozen. Frozen has, I think, would give a lot more points for being very original, whereas Monsters U is a prequel.
Yeah.
But
and it's also original in its own way, but. Yeah, it's true.
Agree.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. I will say that you can find the show notes for this episode at thepixarpodcast.com/109. Tune in next week for another episode of the show. We have I have some more interviews from Pixar artists that I want to play for you. So that will be really fun. Tune in, and we're wrapping up, folks. This is the final season. We're about to find out what happens to Walter White of the Pixar Podcast. I am the one who knocks of the Pixar Podcast. That's disturbing. But tune in for that, and then stay tuned about our new show that maybe the people in this room with me right now are co-producers on.
Yeah.
So,
maybe.
It seems that way. So check out that. There'll be lots of stuff to listen to by the end of the year. Thank you so much for listening. You're now caught up on our review of Frozen. So go out and see
it. Okay, Squirt here will now give you a rundown on proper exiting technique.
Mom, it's just my ball.
Don't let it happen again.
Yes, well, I'll try to be less careless.
I'm watching you, Wazowski. Always watching.
Whew. It's got this kind of nice, burning, melty. It's not really a smoky taste. It's a certain. Oh, it's kind of like a. You know, it's kind of like this boom sap kind of taste. Don't you think? What would you call that flavor?
Lightning?
Don't look at the light!
I can't help it. It's so beautiful.
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you.
Gone! It's all gone. All of it's gone. Bye-bye. Woo, see ya.
Thank you for listening to the Pixar Podcast.